Let's turn over to Proverbs 18. I'm going to go through a few scriptures here this morning. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14. And as I was sharing, we talk about being strengthened with might. But this particular scripture talks about the spirit of a man. It says here, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? That wounded just means broken or stricken, wounded. The Amplified, it says, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up and bear? So it's from our spirit, as you can see here, that we receive strength to overcome pressure and adversity. And there's no age limit on this. That means you could be young, middle-aged, or old. You could be a young person. You can confront adversity and pressure with a strong spirit. So if you're young in age and you're being hounded by kids in school, you build up your spirit, you'll go through that. It won't affect you like other children. And the same, people on jobs, you know, this says here, the pressure of a job, you'll be able to deal with that from a strong spirit. The New Living Translation, it says, the human spirit, this is a New Living Translation, says the human spirit can endure a sick body, but who can bear it if the spirit is crushed? So this says here that, you know, it's God's will, it's certainly not God's will for us to succumb to pressure and adversity, but he wants us to have what? A strong spirit. And sometimes people don't realize they're weak. You know, you don't realize that, you know, think about your immune system. You know, we're coming into a winter season, and a lot of times people are, maybe they don't put a coat on or whatever, or they're not eating right, don't get enough rest, what happens? Their immune system is weakened, and a lot of times when your immune system gets weak, you don't even realize it's weak. You're running along, and all of a sudden you're going, oh, boy, I don't feel too good. You didn't realize your immune system was weak because your immune system's always working. It's always confronting sickness, disease, bugs, germ, all that stuff that's going on that you're confronted with, and it's working for you. So is a strong spirit. You don't even realize it's gotten weak until all of a sudden you can't handle pressure and adversity. And now all of a sudden you're crying and whimpering and saying, and you didn't realize that your spirit had gotten weakened, just like your immune system. You didn't realize that it was weakened. You didn't get enough sleep. You weren't eating right, eating Snickers bars and all that stuff, just like I used to do, running, and not eating right, right? And then all of a sudden, you're weakened. And it's the same thing here. If we don't maintain a strong spirit when confrontation comes in life, you know, you may not handle it the best you could. That's all we're saying. And just keep in mind, what's his MO? It's to kill, steal, and do what? Destroy. So he'll get us off doing a lot of stuff, and a lot of times the Lord is nudging us by his spirit. Don't do that. Don't do that. Turn that off. Don't read that. Don't spend so much time doing this. Do what? Get your spirit strengthened, because he may know what's coming down the road, right? So the spiritual strength of a believer is necessary for victory. It just is. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 8, verse 5. So in order to be strengthened, I want to bring this scripture out. You must not focus on the flesh and fleshly ideas, fleshly thoughts. You need to focus on what? Strengthening your spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5 says, "For they that are do what? After the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit." So if you're always minding the things of the flesh and shortchanging the spirit, it may have an impact on you. It's going to affect your spirit being strengthened. You don't have to turn here, but I'll read this in Matthew 13. This is the parable of the sower. Some of you are familiar with that, but this verse 22, it says, "He also that received seed among thorns is he that heareth the word," they hear the word, "and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches," see, being fleshly minded, the care of this world and all of that, it says, does what? Choke the word. It chokes the word, and he becometh unfruitful. That's going to affect your spirit. That's just the bottom line. Now you can turn over to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24 and verse 10. Proverbs 24 and verse 10. We're just pointing out some scripture that talk about the spirit of the man, and we'll get over into some other scriptures here, but just if you would look at this, Proverbs 24 and verse 10, and whatever translation you have, I'm going to read from the King James and a few others. The King James, it says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy what? Strength. Thy strength is small." See? If thou do what? Faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Now listen to the God's Word translation. It says, "If you faint in a crisis, you are weak." That just makes it plain. If you faint in a crisis, you are weak. The New Living Translation says, "If you fail under pressure, your strength is too small." See? So why might my strength be too small? It's, and I'm not spending enough time getting my spirit strengthened, right? It'd be no different than if you said, "Okay, folks, we're all going to go out and run a mile." And you go, "I'm not in shape to do that." Because your strength is weak. You're not strengthened to do that. You're not prepared to do that. And it's no different that if we have to face some adversity in life and we fail, it might mean that your strength from your spirit is weak or small. This is to just examine yourself and see, okay, am I, you see, or am I not? Maybe I need to strengthen myself more. So we need to look at that. So our spirit, which is the real you, needs to take the preeminence in this. What do I mean? It means to be first place, your spirit man. And it's fed by spiritual things, right? Turn back to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, talking about being strengthened in our spirit. Proverbs 17, verse 22, familiar scripture, but what does it talk about the heart? A what? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So where's that coming from? The heart, the spirit of a man, right? Or a woman. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Listen, this is the New Living Translation. It says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine." That's why it's good to just laugh. Ha, ha, ha. However you laugh, just laugh at things sometimes. It may not be easy, but just laugh at it. Say, I'm just going to laugh at this. Because it does what? It doeth good like a medicine. And then this is what it continues. Let me read it again, the New Living. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. So a broken spirit saps your strength. See? Here's some other... Amplified, a happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. God's Word translation, a joyful heart is good medicine, but depression drains one's strength. Maybe that hits home. So you get depression involved in your life. It does what? It saps your strength. Where is it sapping that from? Your spirit. See, and you need to keep your spirit strengthened, and joy is one. What does it say? The joy of the Lord is my strength. See, so that's why when it says you get over into depression, it'll sap your strength. But you need to get over into joy and just praise the Lord, even when you don't feel like it, because when you yield to it, it'll sap your strength. You need to just make up, I don't feel like praising the Lord, but I'm going to do it anyways because I know it's strength for me, you see. This is the New Living Translation. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. It'll sap it. It'll draw, it'll take from that strength in your spirit. You see, so that's why it's important when we go through things in life to maintain a strong spirit and maintain your joy. Yes. Maintain your joy, maintain your strong spirit. See, otherwise, it you may not come through it. So just a couple of thoughts. When the inner man is weak, he's unable to control the outward man. So we have an inward man, and we have an outer man. So when the inner man's weak, it can't control the outer man. And that's why when a lot of people go through stuff and they get, think about this, when people get caught up in all the vices of life, whatever that vice is, that's what? The outer man. The soul, the outer man. When the inner man's weak, it can't control that. It has a problem. And that's not to condemn anybody. It's certainly not to condemn anybody because a lot of times, Christian or non-Christian, if their spirit's weak, it's hard for them to control those impulses. It just is. And that means you just need to help people. You say, hey, look, let's get you over here on a plan to get your spirit strengthened, right? Even a doctor would do that. A doctor would say, hey, look, I see somebody infirmed having a problem. Let's go in there and try to intervene and help. We should be as wise to do the same thing. I see somebody struggling in life. I need to come over and intervene and help them. I'm just arming you here. Maybe this doesn't apply to you, but if you know how to help somebody to intervene, then here's how to do it. See. But even, it really applies to everybody. Because even if you're walking through life and there's nothing, you know, imminent or confronting you, at some point in life it will. And you need to maintain a strong spirit. So what's going to get you, this is a question, what is going to get you through the worst situation in life? Everybody there? Thank you for your excitement. A strong, I'll help you here. What's going to get you through the worst adversity in life? A strong spirit. That's what's going to get you through these adversities in life. Whether it's bodily sickness, whether it's, you know, marriage tension, children tension, job, whatever it is, you will be able to go through those adversities with a strong spirit. So how do we do that? How do we maintain, or how do we develop a strong spirit? Well, it's going to be through the Word of God and prayer. Now let's turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. And I want us to start looking at this word, a power. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that," what? "Believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek." So this word that is used here, power, is this word dunamis. It just means power or ability. It means power for performing miracles. It means moral power or excellence of soul. So it's the same root word that we would use in English for dynamite, dynamo, the same root word. So this dunamis power, it's God's strength, God's ability. It's his strength and power doing what? Working through me, in me and through me. Right? Isn't that what it says? It says that the Word of God is the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. Another scripture, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. These are familiar scriptures, just to confirm this. Talking about in Romans chapter 1, the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation. What does Hebrews 4, 12 say? It says, the Word of God is what? Quick. That means it's quick, it's powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. So the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive. It's full of life. He has come to give us life and life more abundantly. So the way to maintain a strong spirit is to spend more time, whatever time you have, spend more time feeding on the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, listening to it, and strength will come. Enlightenment will come. You don't have to turn to these. I'm going to read these because these are, I'm going to go quick here so I can get to what I want to do, or a particular scripture, but I'll just read these, and it's going to highlight the word power, the power of God. Acts 1:8, I'll read these. "But you shall receive power," dunamis power, "after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." Romans 1:3, it says, "Concerning the Son of God," I'm sorry, "concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power." He was declared to be the Son of God with power, dunamis power, "according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." This is more familiar probably to you. You've heard this, I'm sure. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23 and 24, it says, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God," the dunamis power of God, "and the wisdom of God." He is the power of God and the wisdom of God. If he is the power of God, what did we just got done reading in Romans chapter 1? The gospel of what? Christ, he is the word, is the power of God. So you can see the various scriptures that support that. Here's one that's very familiar, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power, where is that excellency of that power? In us, in this earthen vessel. This, it says, the excellency of the power, the dunamis of God, may be of God and not us. Here's another scripture. I'm just giving you a few scriptures here. Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul was complaining about being buffeted by the thorn in the flesh? And what was Jesus' response? Let me read it to you. He said, and he said unto me, this is Jesus speaking, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, that word strength is dunamis, for my strength, my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So God is saying, my strength, my power is sufficient. It's made perfect in weakness. Here's another scripture, very familiar, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, according as his divine, well, you can turn over here on this scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, according as his divine power, this is the power of God, the dunamis power of God, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, how? Through the knowledge of him, this is the word of God, that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby means what? Whereby the word of God are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these great and precious promises, the word of God, which is the power of God, by these we might be what? Partakers of the divine nature. Oh my goodness. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we're partakers of the divine nature. That word divine means the Godhead. So we're partakers of the power of God through the promises of God. That's how we're going to maintain a strong spirit. That's how you're going to develop a strong spirit. It's through the promises of God that we become partakers of this divine power, this divine nature. Let me read, I'll just share this, the New International Version. It says, through these great and precious promises, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, this is more clear, it says, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Oh my goodness. It's through these great and precious promises that we participate, we share in the divine nature of the Godhead. And that, you know, sometimes when people hear that, they just go, eh, that's nice. Or sometimes they just say, that's just too much. That seems far-fetched. It's not far-fetched. It's in the Word of God. Let me read these scriptures here. Or you can turn to it, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19. So we're talking about being partakers through these great precious promises of his divine nature. Look at Colossians 1 verse 19. Trying to, create a case here for us. Colossians 1 verse 19. It says, for it pleased the Father that in him, who is he talking about? Christ. In him should all fullness dwell. So who's in him? We are. So that means in him, or in the Word of God, you could also say, is what? All fullness dwells. The power of God dwells. Listen to verse 27. You're at verse 19. Jump down to verse 27 in Colossians 1. It says, to whom, he's talking about his saints or his children, God would make known what is what? The riches of the glory, we're talking about the glory here, the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh my goodness. So if all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him, he's saying here that he would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this word that we partake of is really the word, or Christ, which has the power of God in it. So when we partake of the word, we partake of his divine nature. We partake of the power of God. For it, the word of God, the word of Christ, it is the power of God. So when we partake of that, we partake of his divine nature. We partake of the power of God. Now let's jump over to, you're in Colossians, stay there. Jump back to verse 9. And this is what I kind of want to focus on a little bit here for a few minutes. Verse 9. It says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing, right? Say increasing. Increasing in what? The knowledge of God. What else does it say in verse 11? Strengthened with all might. That word might is dunamis. He's saying here that you would be strengthened with God's power, his ability. Where? According to his glory, his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So this word strengthened in verse 11, it means to increase in strength. That's what it means. Strengthened, or to increase in strength, or to grow strong. It also means to wax strong. You know, in the scriptures, you read about Jesus as a young child waxing strong. That's the term they used in the scripture. That just means he grew in strength. That's what it means. Listen to some of these translations in verse 11 that we're talking about. This is a complete Jewish Bible. It says, we pray that you will be continually strengthened. See, this isn't one and done. It says continually strengthened with all the power that comes from his glorious might, so you will be able to persevere and be patient in any situation. Amen. See, how are we going to persevere? We're going to be able to persevere in life with a strong spirit, a strengthened spirit. Listen, this is probably my favorite right here. This is the New International Version. So if you've got that, or you can look it up, you can read this. Oh, yeah. Verse 11 in the New International Version. It says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Oh my goodness, that blessed me. So what do you need when you face adversity? You need great endurance and patience. And that is one of the things, when I look at that, I say, okay, when you don't have great endurance and you don't have patience, you're weak. That is exactly it right there. When we don't face adversity or situations with great endurance and patience, that means our spirit is not up to the task. That means that I'm going to go out and run a mile and I do a quarter because I fizz out. That means I'm not up to the task. I'm not up to running a mile. So when I face an adverse situation and I give in because my endurance is not there and I'm not patient to see it through, my spirit's weak. And it just means that we need not just admit it, but recognize that and correct it, because God doesn't want us to be that way. He said, what was Paul praying? He said that you be strengthened. He's praying to the church at Colossae. He's saying that you would be strengthened with all might, right? By his spirit. That's what he's saying here. That you would be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. What? Unto all patience and long suffering with joy, with joyfulness. That's what we're talking about. Hallelujah. This is God's word translation. We ask him to strengthen you by his glorious might with all the power you need to patiently endure everything with joy. Didn't say it was joyful, but I can go through it with joy because I'm strengthened on the inside. I'm strengthened with endurance. And I've got joy down here. Down here, I didn't say it was joyful in what I see or my thinking, but I've got joy. I'm going through this. I've got it. Because I've been delivered. I'm not subject to the powers of darkness. I'm not subject to the powers that are motivating this situation or what I'm walking through. I'm going through. And when you see that, you see people that will stand month after month, month after month, year after year, because they keep their spirit strong. And I would say, and you look at Paul. Paul endured these things not for a week or 2 weeks. It was year after year he endured this. Being shipwrecked, beaten. You know, what does it say? He had 40 stripes how many times? Three times, it said? Thrice? Naked, shipwreck. Most of us would have given up after the first situation. But he endured. He was patient with endurance. And that's what he's talking about here. Let me read this one other one from this verse. This is the Passion Translation. It says, and we pray that you would be energized with all his explosive power from the realm of his magnificent glory, filling you with great hope, patient endurance. So how is one, it says here, that you're energized with this explosive power from his magnificent glory? That's what we're talking about, that his word is full of power. His word is full of his glory. And when we get that inside of us and we begin to do what? Meditate upon it and speak it, it will begin to strengthen me to do what? Face adversity in life. And this is, I'm telling you, this right here is where we live every day. We're facing things in life, and if we will face it with strength, then we'll go through it. We'll come out on top. Absolutely. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. What did we just get done reading? Second Peter, it says, all of these, he's given us everything that what? Pertains unto life and godliness through these great and precious promises. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, 16. It says, for this cause, Paul is praying here, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now look at verse 16 and 17. That he would grant you, he's praying to this church at Ephesus, that he would grant you, the church at Ephesus, according to the riches of his glory. That's what we just got done reading about. To be strengthened with might, this is the power of God here, the dunamis power of God, by his spirit in the inner man. See, not your outer man. You're strengthened with might in your inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. How? By faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the what? Fullness of God. Now listen, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Listen to this. This is Ephesians 3:16 in the complete Jewish Bible. It says, I pray that from the treasures of his glory, he will empower you with inner strength by his spirit. He will strengthen you with inner strength by his spirit through his glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, this is good. Let's make this simple profession of faith. Heavenly Father, I thank you for granting me to be strengthened with miracle working ability in my inner man by your spirit. I declare that Christ is dwelling in my heart by faith, and I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might in Jesus' name. Amen. You start saying these kinds of professions. Get this. Say it every day. You start professing, I'm strong. I am strengthened with his might. You begin to meditate in the word of God, and I'm telling you, you'll start walking through or confronting. Here's the thing that will happen. If you begin to notice, just think about Jesus' ministry. Let me just have a little side thought here. In Jesus' ministry, when he was alive on the earth, he would pull away and spend time with his Father and commune with his Father and pray. But then when he came out of those times of fellowship, he didn't pray, he commanded. He spoke to the fig trees. He walked on the water. He spoke and commanded the winds to be still.
Yes.
Why? His spirit was strengthened. See? And so a lot of times when we keep our spirit strong, we will get up and face adversity and do what? Command it to stop. Command it to back up. Command it to cease. And we will go from praying to commanding.
Amen.
See, but you can't command something to change when your spirit's weak. You'll be saying, Lord, help me. I don't know what to do. Right? That's the truth. Because we'll be overwhelmed with the circumstance. But when your spirit's strong, you'll rise up and say, move. Stop.
Yes. That's
right? You will.
That's right.
Let me ask a question. Did you ever have a problem telling your child to do something? You say, oh, would you please do that? No, you said, no, get up and do this. Right? So I'm just pointing out that when we have our spirit strengthened with what? Not our ability, his ability. God's strength, his ability. Through his spirit, where? In my inner man, I will be strengthened inside to do what? Speak to the circumstances.
Yes, yes.
See, what did Jesus say in Mark 11:23? He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not do what? Doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that they say shall come to pass, they shall have whatsoever they say.
Yes.
That's speaking to a situation. That's commanding a situation to change. See? Let's go back to just Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 19 and 20. See, when we talk about being strengthened by his might and his power, we're talking about being strengthened, it says in the New Living Translation, I was reading it, or the King, the Complete Jewish, it says that I pray that from the treasures of his glory, he will empower you with inner strength. But look at verse 19 and 20 in Ephesians chapter 1. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? Who believe? You've got to believe. So it's the exceeding greatness of his power. That's dunamis. It's the power of God that is what? It's to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. What? What's verse 20 say? Which he did what? He wrought in Christ. What raised Christ? The glory. The glory of God raised Christ from the dead. And that same power is what? Working in us, strengthening us. And says here, he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Let me read this from the New Living Translation. I also pray, Ephesians 1:19, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This, listen to verse 20. This is the New Living Translation. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. It's this glory, this power is strengthening us. Amen. You know, I get to the place where I don't try to understand it. I just what? It's to those who believe. And we just have to say, okay, Lord, I believe that your word is working in me. I believe that through your word, the power of God, the glory of God is strengthening my spirit and strengthening my inner man by your spirit in me. And I can face adversity. And I will go through this adverse situation because my spirit is strong. And I have joy, and I'll do it with joy. Didn't say it was joyful. And actually, if you go through some situations, your mind is like, oh boy, it just doesn't look good. Looks like I'm going down backwards here. Whatever that way is. But you've got to make up your mind that God's word is settled. He said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And he said that he will strengthen me by his spirit in my inner man through the word of God. And you've just got to decide that God cannot lie, because that's what the scripture says. He cannot lie. And what does it say? He's without variableness or shadow of turning. He doesn't change. And he's what? What does it say in Hebrews 13? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he said it, then it's so. And he is strengthening us. Hallelujah. Let me just close with this. This is Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. Familiar scripture. But if the spirit of him, who's he talking about? The spirit of God, the spirit of glory. He's saying, but if the spirit of him, didn't we just get done reading over here? It was the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead, the spirit of glory that's strengthening us in the inner man. This says here, Romans chapter 8, verse 11, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, oh, yes, he dwells in us. He who raised Christ from the dead will also, this is the New King James, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit that dwells in us. Not only does he strengthen my spirit, but from my spirit flows life to my body that heals it. See? Yeah, we may have sin in this flesh. We may have a mortal body. But he said here that through his power, through his glory, that strengthens my spirit, it flows out of my spirit and heals my body. It restores my body. See? I'll tell you, this great God that we serve, he lives in us by his spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know this is a lot to absorb, but I'll tell you, if you meditate on this, get this message, download it, or get the CD, and just feed upon it. Go to the scriptures, look at them, look up various translations, and it will begin to register on your heart. It'll begin to affect you. It'll do what? It'll change the inner man. And strengthen the inner man. So that, I'm telling you, if you feed on this 5 months from now, the things that used to bother you and the things that seem to be a challenge will become less and less and less and less. They will. Praise God. Amen. I hope you take this to heart. I really do. Because these truths are the truths that really people question. They go, this is what you hear. I don't understand. Or people say, well, you know, I don't understand why I'm walking through this. Well, you do have an adversary. You do live in this earth, and you have a devil that doesn't like you. So now what are you going to do about it? Are you going to cry to God? God will say, you know what God will say? He'll say, I've done everything I'm going to do. I've given you my spirit. I've given you my word. My word is infused with my power, my mighty power. Yes. You've got my spirit living within you. So he'll say, I've done everything that I can possibly do. Now, he's done what? Everybody play chess? He's done this. He moved, and now he's waiting for you to move.
Yes.
He's waiting for you to do something with what he's done.
Right.
All power. It says, the fullness of God dwelleth in us. So there really isn't much else other than doing what? Growing. Waxing strong, being strengthened or growing in strength. See? Because I tell you, if we stand before God, God will say, you know, what did you do? And we won't have, you know, it's going to be a short conversation sometimes. So that's not, you know, to condemn anybody, but I'm just pointing out these truths that God is showing us that we can overcome. That's what it says in Proverbs 24. If you fail under pressure, your strength is weak.
Yes.
If you fail in a crisis. So we don't want these things to overtake us. We don't want depression to sap our strength. We don't want life's problems to sap our strength, but keep your spirit strengthened and keep yourself full of joy. Keep yourself full of joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. I just encourage today, anybody going through something, you know, you don't have to say what it is, but I just encourage you to take these truths and you just like be determined that whatever I'm facing, I'm going through it. And I'm going to come out on top with the blessings of God. And I'm going to come through blessed and better than I had before. And God's not, you know, trying you for some reason. But I'm just telling you that you will come out on top and you will succeed if you apply these truths. If we meditate in the Word of God, we begin to apply this. You begin to profess that I am. What do we sing? This morning, I am who he says I am.
Yes.
You begin to sing that. I am who he says I am. I can do what he says I can do. I can have what he says I can have. And you begin to say that and you begin to profess it, you'll come out on top. You will. And if you fall and skin your knees, get up, dust yourself off, and keep moving. You know, you think about the stories. Was it Abraham Lincoln or somebody that failed? I forget how many times. How many times did he fail?
Many times.
He failed.
Lost elections.
Business failed. Yeah, businesses failed. He was in the natural, he was a failure. But he kept going. He kept moving forward. I heard, you know, Pastor Tim Rogers, who we support here, he has a very large ministry down in Mexico City. And they've got about 6 or 7 training centers down there. And he said he's been down there 20 years. And he didn't know Spanish, didn't know the Spanish culture, learned Spanish. He's extremely fluent. He speaks Spanish. Teaches in Spanish. And he said, I'm not any more special than anybody else. He said, the reason I'm a success, I didn't quit. He said, I just kept going. And he said, the reason a lot of missionaries fail is because they quit. They just quit. It gets a little hard, they quit. And he said, I just didn't quit. I decided I'm not quitting. And so he's a success. And he said, why am I a success? Yeah, I mean, we know God's in him and working through him, but he just didn't quit when it got hard. He didn't give up. And that's what we need not do. Even if your strength is weak, decide, I'm not quitting. I'm going to get my spirit strengthened up, and I'm going through, and I'm going over. And I am blessed, and I am favored of God. Amen.